previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
So good.
I bridge off the NCAA basketball tournament.
That's insane.
I've never heard in my life. I thought it was
just, it's stupid beyond. What are you talking about? Everybody's in. That's such a money grab. God, that's ridiculous.
Oh, man. Ridiculous. Yeah. Okay. Oh. Good deal.
James Carville, boys and girls. For people who listen to this show over some period of time, you know that we can't understand a single word. It makes us so happy. It makes us so happy.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
And to that point, from Andrew Gindin or Gwindin, first, did I hear Carville say my quote, wife's dog inaudible jumping into the elevator? Yes, I thought he said something like that. Second, it was seriously so great to hear his voice of reason and compassion. Your shows have always been a beacon of fresh, albeit usually meaningless, reality. But in between your hilarious petty jabs are these insightful uppercuts to the heart of mine. Third but foremost, Edith Saliza. And from Bill Garner in North Potomac, Maryland, amidst the cloud of uncertainty was a pleasure to, and in quotes, hear James Carville. A sense of normalcy in an abnormal world. Nobody understands. But he's, by the way, 1-0, and he's waiting on Pittsburgh and the Giants, which is one of the Monday night. There's apparently 12 Monday night games tonight, and that's one of them. And so he's done pretty well. We are back to normal. Michael is here. Nigel is in the area. Sean is where Sean is, making sure that everything goes well. Yesterday, I had a complete blank screen on the piece of equipment that dictates whether or not we can get on the air. And I bothered Sean and he walked me through it. And now our stuff works. Michael, you're back, which is good. You played on Friday.
Yes. Quick exit on Saturday.
But a win on Friday.
Many congratulations to our friend Doug Herson for winning his second club championship over at Columbia.
Yes.
And to all our friends who played well over the weekend.
Yes. The club championship. It's difficult for me because I don't play in it on any of the flights, and so I can't play.
But you walked the course.
I walked the course. Saturday morning, it was so cold and rainy.
We tee off at 7:22. It's supposed to be a gorgeous day here in the Mid-Atlantic. By the second hole, it starts to rain.
Yeah.
By the time we got to snack bar 8, Dad has left the golf course. He picks us up on the back 9, and he has a towel draped over his shoulders like a shawl.
Yeah, yeah.
Just a prayer shawl as he's wandering the rough.
Yeah, that was
waving hello to maintenance.
That was tough. So I have a couple of very small stories to tell, and they're small stories. One is about SiriusXM. We're not on SiriusXM, and they don't sponsor, so I don't really care if I'm going to offend anybody about this. I have I leased a car last year. BMW X3, like it very much. I'm very happy with it. And as many cars do, it comes with 1 year of free SiriusXM.
That's the best part.
And they give you that because they want you to sign up. Now, you, for example, Michael, you have signed up.
Yeah.
You like
SiriusXM. They turned me.
Yes, and that's fine. Carol wanted to sign up, and Carol signed up. I was in my car. I was driving back from Delaware, and I got a call from a woman who represented SiriusXM. And we were talking, and she said, we'd love for you to stay with it, and it costs like $16 a month. And I said, honestly, you know, I don't drive that much, and when I drive, I don't really even listen to the radio. I mean, I know your stuff is good, but I don't really care. I don't really care. She said, well, what do you like? And I said, I like this kind of music. Well, we have that kind of music. I said, no, I know.
The Covers Channel.
I know you have that kind
309.
Of music. Yeah, I get that. I listen, but my life isn't dependent on it. And she says, you know, you can listen out of the car. You can stream it. And I go, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to do that. And everything she says, I'm saying, I don't really, honestly, thank you, but I don't really need it. Nor do I really want it for $16.95 a month.
I just can't believe you answered this phone call.
When I'm in the car and I'm driving, I listen. I'll take
phone
calls.
You'll accept any phone call.
It's sort of like when I used to do radio and I took calls. In the car, I'll take the call. I'm happy to do it.
Tony, how you doing today?
Yeah, so I don't even get rid of him.
Banned.
So we talked for a while, and she says, do you like sports? I said, yeah. She said, what's your favorite sport? And I said, well, I like baseball. Baseball season's nice. She said, you know, we get all the baseball games. I said, well, I like the Nats. So we can get you the Nats. So anyway, she ultimately she says, look, why don't I give you a deal where for $2, I will extend your trial. I will extend your trial for 3 months. And I said, okay, that's fine. That's nice. Thank you very much. I'll do that. And then she said, can I have a credit card number? And I said, well, I'm driving. I'm driving. I can't. I'm not pulling over. You know, I'm driving now. So no, you can't. And she said, okay, well, we'll call you back. We'll call you back in the evening. Well, a day goes by and she doesn't call back. And now I'm on my last day. My last day was September 10th. So I talked to her on the 9th. And then, no, I talked to her on the 8th. And then nothing happened on the 9th. And on the 10th, which is my last day, I get a call here in my house from a guy, not this woman, from a guy. And he says, so I understand you want to sign up, so it's $16.95 a month. And I said, well, no, I didn't want that. I went through this. And he said, well, you don't understand. You can stream it. And I go, I don't know how to stream. It's just not
you
anything.
You quite literally don't understand.
Yeah, I don't really do that. That's not what I want to do. And he says, well, you know, this is how it works, $16.95 a month. Can I get a credit card? And I said, no, here's what you can get. You can get nothing. Because the woman who talked to me earlier offered me $2 for 3 months, and you didn't make that offer at all, and I hung up the phone. And within 12 hours, I was done. So I don't have it. I don't have it. And I don't know. Is that a way to do business? Is that a way to do business? Shouldn't he have checked with her? I mean, I don't care. To be honest with you, I don't really
care.
Right,
you don't care, and you can always get the same deal, and they always have new subscribers if it lapses for X amount of months.
Sure.
But there should be a note on your account, and the first time say, can I get maybe a reference number so that I can talk to you again, or is this a direct line, or can you at least put the addendum onto the account so that whoever talks to me next knows that this is the offer that's
I didn't expect that. I didn't expect this guy
Well, you're just having a casual conversation on 404.
Yeah, 50.
Do you like sports?
I like snow peas. I like to take walks.
Not talking.
The other story I wanted to tell was, some of you may have noticed, as my friend Jimmy Crilly noticed, when he said your face is completely swollen on television. You may have noticed that the PTI show is not necessarily the smoothest running show in the world sometimes. And that's because sometimes the equipment doesn't work. And we end up not doing the show on the camera, not doing the show with a prompter, but doing it on an iPad, which Tracy scrambles like crazy to get an iPad done. And the iPad is about, I don't know, 18 inches from my face. So when you see the show, it doesn't look as good as it looks when we have real cameras. And that's just the nature of doing the show in your attic or doing the show not in a studio. And I accept that. I accept that. But we have this equipment. We have this equipment from Azzurro, A-Z-Z-U-R-R-O. It's camera and it's prompter. It's really good. And it's worked very, very well. And now something happens. Nobody really knows what happens. There are three things that can go wrong. One of them is the camera itself. One of them is ESPN. And one of them is the provider, which in our case is Comcast. So you don't really know what's going on. And you don't, like, sometimes everything works great till 4 o'clock. And then at 4 o'clock, it doesn't work. And then you have to scramble to get the show up.
But of the three, you should be able to troubleshoot and sort of identify that it's not one end. So you can tell it's not necessarily the ESPN end of the
yeah.
issue, right?
Yeah. Something happens when the signal leaves here. Something happens. And so sometimes the camera just goes out. It's just out. It doesn't function. The prompter's out.
Did you try turning it off and on?
Tracy's tried everything in the world. Anyway, Comcast came over here the other day. They came over.
You let them in the house?
Daryl came over. He wore gloves. He wore a mask. He wore boots. Yes. Let them in the house. He changed everything. Now I'm hoping that the camera people, Azzurro, will come over and they'll look to see, is it them? And then I mean, if nobody knows what it is, we were functioning very well for a long period of time. And then it just, you know, almost whimsically, it stopped functioning in the way that you wished it would function. I don't know. So Crilly says to me the other day, I hope the swelling goes down. I said, look at me. The swelling's down. I'm fine.
At least it wasn't from Dr. Duke.
So I guess people are okay with it. They just think it's a little weird, but they're okay with it because we're providing the show. It's not anything that I understand. I'm not an engineer. My job is to sit there and talk when they tell me to talk. And that's the only job that I can do. So I hope that they'll come over and maybe look at it and see maybe it's not functioning on their end. Because it worked great for a few months.
Is the Azuro camera, is it somehow connected to your Sirius XM subscription?
No, I don't know. I don't think so because I don't have that subscription anymore. Okay. And you make a good point. They both went out at about the same time. So we try. We try every day to put the show up and make it work. And most of the time lately, the show's been on ESPN too, so nobody actually notices. But when we get back to ESPN, I certainly hope it works. So we will take a break.
Glad I watched all those Washington sports games for you yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Look, there was a lot of sports on TV. I didn't watch, you know what? I didn't watch two things that I normally watch all the time. I didn't watch one out of the Nats, and you filled me in that Scherzer had a disastrous sixth inning.
Sixth inning after two big at-bats to Freeman and Ozuna, which you'd expect in the fifth, which sort of left the tank empty, and maybe a different manager might have noticed that.
Yeah, and put somebody else in. And I didn't watch one play, not one exchange of the men's tennis final. Not one. I didn't watch any of the golf. I'd never even heard of any of the people that were in the golf. So there was a lot of stuff I didn't watch. Wilbon yelled at me. He said, "Why don't you have more TVs?" I said, "I have two TVs. One's upstairs and one's downstairs." He says, "That doesn't do you any good. I have three TVs that I watch all the time." So is Wilbon next?
Yes, Wilbon is next, yes.
All right, so we'll get to Wilbon the Washington football team is 1-0.
27 right. Unanswered.
Very surprising. They
it's
were down.
A ridiculous comeback,
17-0.
Yes.
And their quarterback was okay. I mean, it wasn't even, you know, his numbers are okay.
And it looked like any other home opener with empty stands.
Yeah. Well, they're lucky they didn't have fans because all the fans would have been from Philadelphia.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
Yeah. All right. So, Wilbon, when we return. What?
Okay. I was going to say, did you watch Tom Brady and his new
team,
the Buccaneers?
Yes. Yes. They stunk. Yes. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Lincoln Financial ad, and it's actually, they tried hard to write good copy. They did. Hey, everyone, this new world we're living in has me and my family talking a lot more. I mean, we're talking about everything from how much greater was the greatest of all time than today's greatest, to how to make sourdough bread, which my daughter made last week, to when football might start up again. They're a little late on this. Football started up Thursday and extended through Sunday. You ought to tell them that they may want to rewrite this. And trust me, that last one's important. It is. It's what I do for a living. I can't keep watching my dog run circles in the backyard and call that a spectator sport. Actually, she was holding three Frisbees, and I tried to get them out of her mouth, and she tugged and she tugged and she tugged.
And then she just prances in victory.
Yeah, because I was afraid I'd literally rip her teeth out.
She puffs out her chest like the hammer.
She does. Despite how talkative we all are, the people at Lincoln Financial want to point out the one conversation that most people still haven't had, your financial plans. So find time to talk to your loved ones about it. That presumes you have loved ones. Because the more we talk, the better we plan, protect, and retire. That's why Lincoln Financial is here to help you. Get the right questions to start your conversation at LincolnFinancial.com.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the artist formerly known as Brandon S. Bowker, or Boker. He has changed his name to Brandon Costello. He's a singer, songwriter in Lexington, easy for me to say, Lexington, Kentucky. This is called Madame Guillotine. He's really good. We like him very, very much. He's going to play two songs for us today. We're not crazy about the name change, just because it seemed odd. Late in life, change your name. If you're going to change your name to anything, change it to Lou Alcindor. That name hasn't been used in 50 years. Change it to Lou Alcindor. That's the way to go.
Jeannie's still fuming about it.
Yeah, Michael Wilbon, who knows very well the Lou Alcindor name change, joins us now. I'm just going to start with the fact that I got one thing right. I had the Celtics. I wouldn't have been surprised if Toronto won. You had Toronto, and I had the Celtics, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not, you know, that's like who had Ali and Frazier in, like, the first couple of fights. I mean, it's, you know,
It's a pick'em. We knew that was a pick'em. It was Marcus Smart made a play that, you know, may very well have given his team a win and a shot in the conference finals now. But it was that game came down to, like the previous game, and like in game three, it came down to one play. And so, you know, that's that. I mean, those two. I think either one of those teams could win the winner. Obviously, now it's Boston, but I think either one of those teams could win the whole thing.
Oh, we'll get to that in a second. I want to get to the more pressing issues, which is this is the first weekend in months and months and months and months and months in which there were so many things on from a sporting venue that you could really lose yourself in it. There was basketball, there was hockey, there was golf, there was tennis, there was college football, there was pro football, there was baseball. There was everything, absolutely everything. All of us missed something. What did you miss? What didn't you see? What didn't you see?
I missed a team I followed the longest in my life throwing a no-hitter.
Right.
I missed it. I didn't see a single pitch. And I, as you know, I sent you a picture of what I was watching.
Yeah, three TVs.
And I watched, you know, for the most part, I had the Nuggets and Clippers on one TV starting at 1 o'clock. I had Red Zone on the 80-inch TV, and I had the Bears on the upper left.
Right.
And I kept up with all that. I'm not a person who's going to put on a tablet. I'm not going to do that. I did have, and I had my desktop essentially sitting on Twitter because I tweeted all day yesterday. That's what I do on Sundays. And it was about the end of the Clippers game when I get a text from Eric Reitholm. And it just says, Alec Mills, and it has like 8 exclamation points. And immediately I knew what that was. That's all he had to say, because like me, Eric is a lifelong Chicago Cubs guy. And I just texted him back, and I just said, did he throw a complete game no-hitter? And Eric said, yeah. And Eric missed it, too. How we missed it, you can't miss it. And I knew that game was on at 1. I just thought, eh. I had just watched the Cubs beat the Brewers in a crazy, unlikely way late Saturday night, the game that probably seemed to me ended like, I don't know, midnight. I just watched them. And so I was watching this other stuff, and I missed a no-hitter, which I don't do. I mean, I the Cubs have thrown 16 no-hitters. I guess 11 of them have been, like, in my lifetime.
Right.
And of the 11, I've seen some, and I mean live, of, like, every one of them. And I didn't see a pitch of this, so that's what I missed.
So I didn't even, to be honest, I was unfamiliar with Alec Mills.
Yeah.
It was a name I didn't even know. How recent is he to the Cubs?
And I mean, very recent. He's a guy who was a college walk-on who doesn't throw more than 90 miles an hour. He throws, he's like Kyle Hendricks. The Cubs have two of these guys. And, of course, the Cubs, you know, you always, I mean, organizations, no matter what sport, they have people that remind them of people. And we're constantly chasing a certain Hall of Famer we let get away to the Atlanta Braves, who, of course,
Greg Maddux,
didn't throw more than 90 miles an hour.
That's right. That's right.
And so Kyle Hendricks, the professor, does that and had some great success and was an anchor of the World Series team in 16. And now Alec Mills is a guy who wears glasses on the mound. I think he did not get above 91 yesterday. His fastest pitch was 91 miles an hour. And he throws a no-hitter. And he's been terrific this season in sort of the back end of the rotation. So, I was totally obsessed with the Bears. In order for me yesterday, I was totally obsessed with the Bears. And then was mildly obsessed with Nuggets Clippers. And, all of these things involve my hometown, even Nuggets Clippers, because Doc Rivers is coaching the Clippers. And Doc would have had a pretty good day yesterday. Doc is a White Sox fan. They also won. And the Bears, Doc and I often text during Bears games.
They're both at the top of their divisions.
Yesterday, though, but, Doc would have had a good day, except, he's now in game 7.
So there's I'll get to that in a second. One of the things, there's a great irony here. Both of the no-hitters this year are thrown by Chicago pitchers, and neither threw them in Chicago, right? I mean, in front of fans. Like, there's no fans. There's no fans.
They weren't in Chicago. Well, I don't know where the
was. Giolito's in Chicago?
Yeah. I don't know. But, so but this one was in Milwaukee. And by the way, this is the second Cubs no-hitter in Milwaukee. The first one, I think, was thrown by Zambrano, by Carlos Zambrano. I want to say it was like 2005. I could be a little off on that. But that was in Milwaukee. It was not in Chicago. It was not at Wrigley.
All right, let's get to what I presumed would be Lakers-Clippers by now.
Yeah.
By now, because I knew the Lakers, once they won game two, it became obvious to me
That's
they were going to do what
That's
they
right.
did in the first round, and they were going to win four in a row. And I thought the Clippers, having withstood Dallas and got a harder draw in both cases, I think, than the Lakers.
Oh, yeah.
But I just thought Denver would be packing and leave the bubble and say, thanks, it's been a lot of fun. And Denver has won two in a row? Yes?
Denver, we got to go to background for this story, of course. Denver came back from 3-1 to beat Utah.
Yeah, that's
Nobody's
right.
Nobody's ever done
that's
3-1
right.
twice.
That's right.
And they're in a position to do it. And, yes, it's a much tougher draw. Much tougher draw. Denver's a lot better than the Houston Rockets. Sorry, I know the Rockets have, you know, two Hall of Famers.
No, they're better. They're better.
Two recent MVPs, but Denver's a better team.
Yeah, but that's not a good team.
And Denver's not playing small ball, and they're not gimmicky because they got a 7-footer out there who – did Reggie Miller say this? Maybe somebody else. Reggie was one of them, I think, this weekend, who said, this is the best passing big man we've ever seen. And I'm not going to argue. It's like when people first started saying Steph Curry is maybe the greatest shooter of all time. Like in 2015, Mark Jackson said that. 14, maybe, for Mark Jackson. And you go, what? And it's like, yeah. And so that's maybe true of Nikola Jokic. And it's more than Jokic. I mean, he's the best player, but Jamal Murray could be the best player in, I don't know, maybe now, but certainly in a year. And they got a team that I think they're immature. I don't mean immature in a bad way. They're young. Like they never saw a 13-point lead that they couldn't turn into a 6-point lead in like two possessions. Because they're going to throw it away. They're going to go behind the back in traffic. And you just look at them and you go, what are you doing? But Mike Malone stays with them. He doesn't get panicked. He doesn't go crazy. And they play their way out of it. They are unbelievably talented and deep, Michael Porter Jr. Included in this ensemble. And they're coming right back. Look, Tony, they know they have the talent to win soon. So everybody can talk about Dallas if they want. And it's great because Luka's the best player in of those two teams. But Denver. They're gonna help turn the Western Conference upside down. Soon enough, it's not gonna be Lakers and Clippers. It's gonna be Denver and maybe Memphis and Dallas and Phoenix. That's coming to a place near you soon. But right now, you just don't think they have enough to beat the Clippers, and they do. If you're in Game 7, you have enough to beat them.
If you get to Game 7, you're right. There were so many things that happened over the weekend. I did pay attention. I did not watch one exchange in the men's final. I did not. But I did watch the women's final with Serena and Azarenka.
Yeah.
And Serena, 6-1 in the first, and then failed again.
Well,
and
she
then
didn't just fail, Tony. You mentioned this. Serena has an Achilles injury that she suffered in the match. Serena just didn't tank it or go down. When Serena started, she bent over to hold her ankle. And in live time, I said to Neville Waters, because we were watching in our respective homes, and I said, Neville, let's go back. They're going to show this replay 1,000 times. We can also just rewind it. She had no contact. This is an Achilles injury. This is like looking at Dan Marino. She's got an Achilles injury. And the trainer comes out, rubs her ankle. Nobody really went over this post-match very much. And I'm thinking, this is an Achilles injury. Yesterday, I read Serena suffered an Achilles injury. She's out of the next tournament.
She's out of the Italian.
Yeah,
she's going to compete in the French.
She's going to likely be out of that, too.
Do you think she'll ever win another? She's 39 in a week.
No, I don't know. You can win one, maybe, but I don't know. These young women, women's tennis is full of, it's like men's golf.
Yes.
They're full of people that you just go, this girl, Jen Brady, this woman, she's 25.
She's 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, she does. Yeah. And Osaka going anywhere?
She's
22.
No, she's real good.
She's 22.
Real good. All right, let me get to the NFL. Yeah. Let me get to Trubisky.
Yeah.
The guy you were absolutely convinced 2 months ago, totally convinced, would not be the starter.
Wait. For a reason. Not that he couldn't be or shouldn't be or couldn't earn it.
They went and got Nick Foles, and you were utterly convinced Foles would be the starter.
Yeah.
Trubisky is the starter. Trubisky threw three touchdowns in the fourth quarter. What do you make of that?
Listen. This was the obsession in my home. And so we sit down and watch it. First of all, we start the day, and Matthew's like, Dad, why is Trubisky starting, and why are you on his side? And I explained to him that I think this is the fault of the head coach, Nagy, as much as it is Trubisky, that Trubisky is not the second coming of John Elway. But I thought his coach has bailed on him, and there's evidence that many other people think that too. So we go in the first half, and Trubisky's throwing behind people. He can't do anything. And at halftime, and it's posted now on Instagram because it was posted yesterday, I say to Matthew on camera, if you will, you want to bench Trubisky now at halftime? He goes, yeah. And I said, you want Foles after one half? Yeah, Dad. I said, that's it? That's it for Trubisky, a half? And by the way, it's not just a 12-year-old who's saying this. Tony Gonzalez, who I believe is in something called the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Tony Gonzalez says on Fox at halftime in a very measured way, measured. After I hear my own son say it, he says, the Bears have to have seen enough of Trubisky now. You have to go to Foles now. And I was just thinking, this is not some dude. This is Tony Gonzalez, who is not a wild card. He's not a guy who goes crazy. He just says, we've seen enough of him because we know we've seen it all. We saw it last year. Get him out of there. Get Foles in. And I started tweeting, okay, people are blaming Trubisky. I'm going to blame Nagy and Trubisky, blah, 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 blah. And the next thing you know, one touchdown, two touchdowns, Detroit is being the Lions. They're throwing the ball with a lead late in the game. And Adrian Peterson is 10 for 92. Yeah, or something like 11 for 90. What are you doing? You're being Detroit. It was Wayne Fonts. Whether it's Wayne Fonts or Matt Patricia, it's the same. And they couldn't. They gave the Bears the ball back. Trubisky goes down the field. And they win the game, even though the Lions go right down the field. They toss what is an obvious touchdown pass to win the game with
and
six
it's dropped.
Seconds left, and a rookie drops it.
Just drops it, right?
Both feet just drops he turns to sort of really just let his momentum carry him into the ups. It's going to be upright, untouched. And everybody's got Trubisky out. And then there's explanations later. I mean, I was obsessed with this. I'm still obsessed with it. I'm going to be obsessed with it today. Because they changed their defense. People are killing Matt Patricia in Detroit and wherever people care about the Lions. And if you can laugh and say nobody cares about the Lions are a fan base. Take that. 100
sure they
years.
Are. Yeah, Lions
and
are
so good. They got, he changed defense. They went to man defense. And, as Olin Krutz, a guy who played center for the Bears, I think on that 2006 Super Bowl team, as he explained afterward, he's the best analyst. He's the best analyst on television, the best. The best. No one knows him. He's on local TV in Chicago. And he's on a show, which I do not miss after the games. And he comes on and he just says, Trubisky has no idea what he's doing against zone defenses. And the Lions played zone. And they got a three-score lead. And they went to man, and Trubisky killed it. And that's what he does. And so this is way too much inside baseball in Washington, D.C. I peeked at the Washington football team.
They won.
At it. I just
they were
say
down
this.
17-0.
Good for them. Good for them. And let me just say this. If I hear one person say anything about Carson Wentz.
You hate Carson
who's
Wentz.
Who's a dog. It's not even that I hate him. I don't hate him. I watched our network, and it wasn't only ours, but I watched ours, as everybody on our network who covers football. And there's, look, everybody in that group, they all know they've forgotten more football during the breaks yesterday than I'll ever know. All they did was take apart some dude who had the nerve to not rank Carson Wentz as a top 100 player in like June or July. They spent days ripping this guy. They were killing this guy. Carson Wentz, he's this. Carson Wentz, he's that.
No, he's nothing.
Carson Wentz is the most overstated, overrated player possibly in the NFL because he's never done jack. The guy that we were all calling for to come out of the pen in Chicago, he's Nick the Foles. Guy who got him the ring. Won it.
That's right.
And yet, the entire Northeast Corridor, your people, I-95, all they want to do
like
is celebrate Carson Wentz.
I don't like him. I don't think he's any good.
What, did he throw too bad? Why are they throwing those passes up 17-0 if the offensive line is not that great anyway? What are they doing? So I peeked
it's
at
a devastating
that.
Loss for Philadelphia. It's actually
good.
Devastating.
Good. I can hate the Eagles.
Big win
now.
For Washington. Big win. Big win for Ron Rivera.
But I don't know anything about the game other than that. That game spent less time. Red Zone spent less time on that game than I think any game in the 1 o'clock hour yesterday. So good for everybody here. I didn't see it. And
almost a perfect reversal from last year's home opener against the Eagles. Yeah. Where they were up 17.
Was it against really?
It's a good thing they had no fans because every single fan would have been an Eagles fan.
Hit them high. Yeah. Hit them low.
So, you know. All right, I'll talk to you later.
All right, Tom.
Michael Wilbon, boys and girls. We'll take a break. Mike Freeman will join us when we return. Mike Freeman now working for something called Sportico, which I think is Spartacus. It's not Spartacus, it's Sportico. Freeman will join us when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Framebridge ad. Framebridge makes it easier and more affordable than ever to frame your favorite things without ever leaving the house. Add a gallery wall. Michael?
Love the gallery wall.
You have a gallery wall.
We have four important places to our lives right in our living room.
Yeah. Add a gallery wall to your home office or send the perfect gift from art prints and diplomas, in case you have a diploma, to the photos sitting on your phone. You can Framebridge just about anything. You know, I should get my doctorate. I don't even know where it is. I should get it framed. I should get it framed and hang it up somewhere.
We're going to do one with all of our wedding accoutrements, you know, the menus, the invitations.
Isn't that lovely?
Yeah, we made it to 6 years.
Yeah. Here's a, the over-under was 8. Here's a reminder. I took the under. Here's a reminder of how it works. Just go to framebridge.com and upload your photo. That's funny. Or they'll send you packaging to safely mail in your physical pieces. Preview your item online in dozens of frame styles and gallery wall layouts like Michael and Liz have. Choose your favorite or get free recommendations from the talented designers. The experts at Framebridge will custom frame your item, deliver your finished piece directly to your door ready to hang. Instead of the hundreds you'd pay at a framing store, their prices start at $39. Wow. All shipping is free. Plus, my listeners will get 15% off their first order at framebridge.com when they use my code, TonyK. Use the code, people. Use the code. Get started today. Frame your photos or send someone the perfect gift. Go to framebridge.com. Use the promo code TonyK to save an additional 15% off your first order. Framebridge.com, promo code TonyK. For you people who want to hear it three times, framebridge.com, promo code TonyK.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Once again, this is Brandon Costello. It's hard for us to think of him as Brandon Costello. But then if Elvis Costello changes his name, he changed it to Elvis Costello. But if he changes it to Elvis S. Bowker, I'm going to be impressed. I'm going to be impressed. This is called She Stoops to Conquer. Michael, if people like Brandon want to send us their original music, which we are always welcome to hear, how do they do it?
Send us your music by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheiser.com.
And are we selling anything
yes,
today?
Yes, we still have the promo code Uncle Benny
for Johnny O.
Johnny O. So go check out some of their casual footwear and those Revo sunglasses.
Which I've got, which I wore the other day. I was very happy to wear them.
Not in the rain.
Not in the rain. Mike Freeman joins us now. He is now working for Sportico, not Spartacus, but Sportico. And you have a book. Come on, here's your opportunity to sell your book. Go ahead.
Well, it's Tony. It's Football Fearless Activist. It's about basically how the protest movement in the NFL came about. And it examines it from start up until now. It focuses a lot on how the players had to really kind of fight a bunch of different opponents from the president to their own league. And it really shows how hard it was for them, how hard they fought, and really in the end, how they end up being not just right, but heroes in a lot of ways. Colin Kaepernick was from years ago, 4 years ago, 2016, said that this was going to be a persistent problem, and he felt he needed to take the actions that he did, and he was right. And here we are, 4 years later, still dealing with the same problem, and he was way ahead of his time. So it sort of looks at that whole movement and breaks it down and really relays to how it fits into what's happening in today's world.
So I'm not gonna dwell on this. You and I differ on Kaepernick, and we've differed for a long time on Kaepernick. Not his actions, the Kaepernick the person, and some of the things he says. He did make a claim yesterday about Eric Reed, who I believe played last year and is not playing this year. And he says he's being actively blackballed. I never got that sense because Eric Reed continued to play. I know he at least played with Carolina. I think he played with a couple of other teams. I think that's possible. What is your sense of Eric Reed right now?
Well, I think Kaepernick is being blackballed. Reed is a little more of a difficult case.
Yeah.
But I think Reed had a really good year last year. I mean, he was fantastic. And the fact he's not playing is very suspicious to me. But he did play. So if you think that it's hard to say that he was blackballed when he played, I understand that. But it is strange that he's not playing. He's not picked up. That is really odd because he's very, very talented still and very good still. And last year played really well.
So who did he play with last year?
He played in Carolina last year.
Carolina, right. That's what I thought. Well, now Carolina has their coach went out and they have a new coach and a new owner. And so, you know, one doesn't know the dynamic. But in these situations, I always look to Pete Carroll. I always sort of think Pete Carroll will pick up a good player because he can coach people very, very well. And I wondered if there was a chance that Eric Reed would go to Seattle. Good team, Seattle.
It's possible. I mean, I always thought Kaepernick would go there, but he didn't go there. But it's possible. My guess is Eric will get picked up. It's odd that he's not picked up so far, but my guess is he will be. It's still just unbelievable that Kaepernick's not playing. But yeah, this is where we are. And yesterday's games, I mean,
is my question, and I'm asking you because you've devoted a lot of your time to this. I thought it was odd with Kansas City that one player knelt, only one player knelt. And I thought, gee, that seems odd to me. Then I saw it with Dallas where one player knelt. And it's possible, you know, it's possible that Jerry Jones has instilled fear in people, but I don't really think that. What I now think is that was deliberate on both those teams. That was somehow a compromise that I'm unaware of, but it just seemed to me not random. Do you have the same feeling about that, or do you think I'm wrong?
Everything is very, very well thought out and organized with the players.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
In Kansas City, they came out arm in arm, locked in arm, not during the anthem, before the anthem. They got booed. So there's still there's an element of this that is just absolutely ludicrous, where no matter what the players do, someone complains. I mean, as both teams came out, it was not during the anthem. It was no one.
Oh, that was after the anthem. They came out and linked arms. Yeah, I remember.
Right.
I was surprised at the booing. But, you know, it's a democracy.
It wasn't during the anthem. So people were disrespecting the flag. And they didn't take the, they interlocked arms.
Yeah,
and as a moment of pee, and they got booed, and it shows you how things still are just at times just so frustrating and ridiculous. Like the players do everything that people who criticize them want them to do. They do it. They don't protest during the anthem. They don't take a knee. They interlock an arm for a peaceful protest, standing up on, and it's, people still don't like it. It gets just absurd and it's just so frustrating and angering, but that's kind of where we are at this point. But you know, in Dallas, one player took a knee.
Had to be deliberate. That had to be a team decision, didn't it? It had to be a team decision.
Every team, Tony, has talked about this extensively. Every team. Some teams are going to stay in the locker room.
The Dolphins released a terrific video about this.
Really
it really
good.
Did.
Really powerful. I think the players are taking it very seriously. I think the league office has sort of turned the corner a little bit. I'm not sure about the owners, but the players have really, this has really hit a lot of them very hard. They're taking these things very seriously and thinking hard about it. So you're right. Everything you see these guys doing now is very thought out.
All right. Well, let me get to the games, because I was delighted to watch games, delighted to watch the red zone. And I would say that everybody will pick out one event that meant the most to them. I got hooked up on Joe Burrow leading his team back late without any timeouts, getting them right down the field to an easy field goal. And the guy shanks it. It's Shankopotamus to the right. They got to cut that guy that moment. He can't even go back to the locker room. He's got to go. What did you think of Burrow after he made the terrible shovel pass? And then with like 2 minutes to go, he goes right down the field.
He saw what it's like to be a Bengal, first of all. That was a very Bengals moment. He had some rough spots, but I thought overall he was really good. He's going to be a good player, Tony. And, you know, that offense has some weapons on it. And if they keep building around it and don't bingle it up, they can be pretty good. He's got some talent, and he's got a good feel for the game for a guy that's so young and a rookie. It was impressive what he did in the last few minutes of the game. He's going to be pretty good. I mean, that coaching staff is not bad. Joe Mixon, that running back, is pretty good. He had a rough day yesterday, but he
fumbled.
They got some good receivers. So he's got a lot to work with, and he's pretty solid.
If I had to pick one person who could stand up at 8 o'clock last night and say, see, that would have been Aaron Rodgers. He would have been my number one choice. Now, somebody else might say DeAndre Hopkins, and somebody else might say Russell Wilson, and somebody else might say Josh Allen. You know, I mean, there's a bunch of guys. But for me, it would have been Aaron Rodgers. What about for you?
No, it's the same. It's a weird thing with him for people. There's people who just consistently want to say he's done. It's similar with Tom Brady, right? People just want to declare that his career is beginning to end and he's done and it's over. And last year wasn't his greatest year, but he still had a pretty good year. And he's one of these guys, Tony, having interviewed him a bunch of times and talked to him a bunch of times, that really sincerely has a chip on his shoulder. It's not like made up. It's not BS. He really feels disrespected from the time he was drafted lower than he should have been. And last year was really frustrating for him. He felt like everyone just sort of wrote him off. And he's one of these few guys, a lot of guys talk about this kind of stuff, but he's one of the few guys that actually really uses that kind of stuff as motivation. I knew that he was going to probably have a really good year if he stayed healthy. You could just tell going into camp. You could just tell from talking to him. He was just like, he was going to have a really good year. He was fired up, and he's going to be, I think you're going to see the Aaron Rodgers you've seen like from 5 years ago. That was just terrific. You're going to see that again. And he's got a lot of young guys around him that are very talented. And he's got a guy that might be the best receiver in football now. So yeah, I'm with you 100%. And I think you're going to keep seeing that. You're going to keep seeing a guy that stays really pissed off, motivated all the time, and he's going to be very, very good this year.
Mike, if I were Aaron Rodgers, I'd walk into LaFleur's office last night and I would say, trade me now. I hate your guts. I know, honestly. I just threw for 400. Trade me now. You know, go play your rookie, hotshot. Go ahead. That's what I would do. What did you think of Cam Newton? Cam Newton was very physical, because Cam Newton is very, very physical. But if he plays like that, I'm afraid he's going to get hurt again. And I wonder what you think.
Well, in sticking with what your theme you just said about Aaron Rodgers, Cam is right up there with that.
Yes.
I mean, what happened with him in the offseason was just absurd. I mean, nobody really made a run at him. Everyone thought he was done. The Patriots were like, well, we're the Patriots. We're going to take a shot here. And he was never done. I mean, yes, he gets injured, but he was coming back from that. It was clear he's going to be fine. And teams just decided to just not take a shot. It was bizarre for a million different reasons, but the Patriots being the Patriots, bring him in, and they reconstruct their entire offense to fit him. Unlike what a lot of coaches do, is where they would have tried to jam Cam Newton into some weird offense.
And Belichick's smarter than the others. He's smarter.
Josh McDaniels was not a good head coach, but as a coordinator, he's fantastic. Right. And they work everything around his strengths. Could he get hurt again? He could, but I love what they did. I mean, you play to his strengths. You let him do what he does. And here at the Patriots, they get rid of Tom Brady, and they're probably going to win the division again with Cam Newton. I mean, it's crazy. It's what they do there is just insane. It's a factory.
Let's get to Brady and Breeze and your thoughts on that game. What did we learn? Like, I love Brady. Even I thought, they're not going to win this game. You can't win this game in week one. You've never even had a real down with all of these people. Week seven, you could win this game. I'll tell you, you probably heard Troy Aikman say, I won't be surprised to see this game in the NFC Championship game. But what did we learn anything yesterday?
I think you hit on something that's really important about they just haven't really had a whole lot of contact, physical contact, game time, preseason together, bringing in all these different people and personalities together. I was amazed at how well the games were played and how clean most of them were, especially the Thursday night game with the Chiefs. I mean, the Chiefs looked like they left 40 points on the field.
Yeah.
And they looked like they just picked up right where they left off. It's amazing. And you see a lot of that around. These guys are just so good. I think what the Buccaneers showed was that there are limits to that. Even when you have these great Hall of Fame players like Brady and Gronk and some of these other guys, they just haven't played together. That's the most important thing. And once they start really clicking, I could see that being the title game easily. They'll be more than fine. They're going to be great. But you see the limitations of not being able to practice hard, not being able to play a lot. That's what it looks like when you have all these different personalities coming together.
That's right. All right. Thank you, Mike. Mike's book is called Football's Fearless Activist. Is this, can you buy the, is it in print? Is it that kind of book, or is it one of those books where you have to read it online and pay you money?
You can read it any way you want, Tony. Online, print, however
Good.
You want.
Good. Good for you.
Yeah.
All right. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Tony.
Mike Freeman, boys and girls, one of the many interns at the Washington Post who went on to be fabulous in other places. Some of them went on to be fabulous at the Washington Post, like Mark Maskin, Dave Shinen. We will take a break. We will have email and jingle when we return. Yes,
That's Tony
Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Matt's playing tonight, tarps out on the field. 2-0-0-1-5 threat is real. Phone app keeps on getting it wrong. Not a drop of rain, Westside's most strong. When Mr. Tony feels the weather's getting rough, he gets concerned about the thunder from above. He's got no idea at all. He's got a phone that gets radar wrong. He's got no storms in the sky. Radar's wrong.
That's wonderful. Steve Lipton, Springfield, Virginia. That is amazingly good production. That's really, really good. The other day, wasn't supposed to rain at all, right? I was out on the golf course with you.
Well, I knew it was going to rain because I'd listened to Ricketts on my way over to the course.
Yeah, she gets
and
it
I
right.
do believe.
I do believe. Okay, that'll just about do it for us today. But before we get to the mailbag, let me just say Mongo, only pawn in Game of Life. That's from Blazing Saddles, written by my friend Andy Bergman. Thanks to our guests today, Michael Wilbon and Mike Freeman of Sportico.com. Check out his book, Fearless Football's Fearless Activists. And thanks as well to our sponsors today, Framebridge and the Lincoln Financial Group. Remember, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Radio.com. If you get the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. From Mark in Cape May, New Jersey.
Before we get to
Bethesda Bagels. Yeah. Go ahead.
Thanks, Bethesda Bagels. We love a mule as well. BethesdaBagels.com. Several locations around the D.C. area. We go to the one in Bethesda Row, open from every day from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Thank you. Mark in Cape May, New Jersey. With the start of the NFL, it is clear that the change of seasons is upon us, and your attention will now turn to the maroon and black of the Washington Football Club. I, for one, will miss your rants about the Nats. They're done. They're done. They're toast. And the long laments about how Victor Robles routinely stares down strike three, swinging the bat with all the alacrity of the Venus de Milo. Or is that the Robles de Milo? Secondly, with regard to the passing of Diana Rigg, I was once seated front row at a 1990s revival production of the Greek tragedy Medea. Ms. Rigg was in the title role, and at one point in the play, she walked to the front of the stage, made eye contact, and smiled briefly at me before delivering her lines. At that moment, a small amount of moisture from her impassioned speech landed on my right cheek. It was Diana Rigg. I did not wash my face for a week. If something like that happens today, however, I wipe my face with gasoline.
Droplets.
That's very funny. Yeah. Jennifer Heisner, Cambridge, Massachusetts. And it's Lake Orion, Michigan. Not Lake Orion. Okay, Lake Orion, Michigan. I've just returned to Boston, never there, from a Labor Day weekend full of labor and unpacking my parents' new house in Fredericksburg, Virginia. I normally save a few shows when I know I have a drive upcoming and so caught on the way down the 95 corridor. After landing on their doorstep, I started recounting a select few of your inane ramblings to my dad, an occasional listener these days, but regular reader back when you were still a contributing member of society and we lived in 20874. After chuckling together, he hit me with the ultimate DA moment. You were on his show once. Do you remember that? Somewhere in the mid-90s, I'd say. Being roughly the same age as Michael, and so likely not being in your target demo at the time, I had no recollection of the experience. It was hilarious, he said. We'd won some silent auction for your school and got to spend an hour watching the broadcast of the show. We put you in a little navy blazer and chinos and drove down to the studio. During the show, Tony looked at you through the studio glass and said, "Look at this kid. This kid looks good. He's got on a jacket and a collared shirt. My kid would be in here in sweatpants." I started laughing out loud, both amusing and puzzling my dad. Not knowing where to begin in terms of an explanation, I simply said, "That kid's name is Michael, and today he'd be there in a sweatpant." Thanks for the laughs between a father jogger and a son. It's Jennings Heisner. Did I say Jennifer at one point? Because I misread it. Jennings, please accept my apologies. I appreciate the fact that I'm an idiot. And it's like Orion. And we always get that wrong. Always get it wrong.
I thought you did it on purpose.
No, I didn't. I just get it wrong. From Steve the Sycophant, Dr. Ron, your pay-on to the joys of a payday candy bar was enough to convince me to buy one. It's been a long, long time, and I'd forgotten the joys of catching peanut fragments as they fell off the bar while I chomped away, plus the feeling of caramel ooze between my teeth. Even better, I could still taste the caramel a day later.
After one of my many three-putts, you offered me a candy bar, and I was so nervous that I would be receiving advice, and there'd be a penalty.
No, there's no advice I would have given you. I brought the payday for you if you
huddled
wanted
under
it.
Your towel.
Matt Vogel of Coventry, Connecticut, upon hearing the news that Toronto FC of the MLS will play its home games at Rentschler Field in East Hartford, I have to ask, does this mean that Connecticut is in the Midwest? From Joe in Annapolis, this past Christmas, the woman to whom I'm related by marriage purchased 6 new classy t-shirts for me. She was likely hoping in secret that I would be taken with the new shirts and discard my nearly decade-old white t-shirts, which she found repulsive, for something more refined. I'm not very refined when it comes to clothing. I buy cheap plain white t-shirts in bulk, typically in the clearance bin after Labor Day. However, after trying on one of my new shirts, I can see how someone who wears finer clothes would be repulsed by my poor taste in clothing. The fabric is extremely comfortable, and none of my new shirts shrank as far as I could tell. They were V-necks, which, like yourself, I did not prefer until after wearing them. The brand I speak of is Buffalo David Bitten. Maybe you've heard of them. No. They're known for their jeans, but they also make plain t-shirts in various colors, many without logos or other designs. The one problem, they're Canadian. P.S. Didn't see you at the Delaware Shore over Labor Day. Weather was excellent in Bethany. I actually was there. I was there. Spencer Thompson, Greenville, South Carolina. A brief paraphrased transcript of tonight's Atlanta broadcast of the Braves-Nats game. This guy's a very young, exciting talent coming out of the bullpen, and he has a live arm. The Nats are very excited about Wander Suero. This guy's a handful. He's tough. At that very moment, Ronald Acuna Jr. sent a home run into the Nats bullpen. This made me happy, mostly because I know it made you so very mad. Look, Wander Suero can't play in a league. Can't play in the league. Andrew in Innisfil, I've been listening since the launch of the podcast, and I think it's time for a new great debate or mail-in poll. Clothes hangers, hook opening facing out or in? I'm betting Tony is an in and Saliza is an obsessive out. Hook opening facing, no.
Like the hook that goes over the rod?
Yeah, to the outside. Goes to the outside.
The outside, so towards the door of the closet or the inside?
The inside,
towards the inside
of the
closet.
Towards the inside of the closet. Bill Isaacson, who's in Louisville, Kentucky for the week because we drove. And this will be the last email we read today. For 10 years, from approximately 1999 to 2009, my family drove to Maine each year and stopped in the first night in L.L. Beanland in Freeport, Maine. Michael, you've been there,
yeah, right? Visit the boot.
And then we went the next morning to L.L. Bean. There, in a frenetic morning, we did Michael's back-to-school-style shopping, but I also bought the T-shirts with no logos and no pockets.
Unshrinkable.
I have not bought one in over 10 years, but those T-shirts have survived longer than four washings, more like 400. Today, I dig them out of the closet when I feel the need of paper-tin T-shirts. I don't buy clothes online, with the possible exception of Chatter T-shirts, the deluxe model. Thanks to you tonight, I've ordered four of these T-shirts, even without a podcast discount code. You are right. The cayenne and the green look strange. So I ordered Cabin Red, Heather, Delta Blue, and Navy Blue. That means I have to wait on the back order. How long do I wait? September 12th, 2 days from now. 2 days. Listen, so he wrote this a little while ago, September 10th. Maybe have some patience, Tony. Thanks for restocking my closet. And let me apologize again to Jennings Heisner, because I just looked at it quickly and thought it was Jennifer. Jennings is probably very angry at me now. Don't be angry. You were on the show.
He was wearing a blazer.
You were a great little kid. Great little kid. If you're out on your bike tonight, well, you're not a little kid anymore. Do wear white.
Come on now. That means everybody just cool out. Will you cool out, everybody?
All the architecture in the world can't make you feel at home with the girls. Don't wear your little heart on your sleeve, and you will never have to run from me. Thank you. something sweet. But you, Madam Guillotine, what you are, you always be. Never know what was I to you. crush. She stoops to conquer everything she does, she needs. You cannot help but want her. The light in her eyes, the scars on her knees. As a means to move you, she knows just what to do. She's all but forgotten all the best parts of you. Crush.